Yesterday, Andrew Thorburn, we went to bed on Monday night thinking we're going to interview the Essendon CEO and his plans and futures and hopes for the football club. And we woke up with a whole different narrative around him, given that the story broke about his chairmanship of a City on a Hill church and the position that that church has taken on a whole host of different issues that are deemed to be offensive, and we understand why. Andrew came in and said, ask me any questions you'd like. So we did,
yep.
And he put his position forward, and here's a little bit of what he had to say to us yesterday morning.
My commitment, and it's always been this, and I think my record stands, is that I will create that organisation and lead that organisation. I welcome all those people. Everybody is welcome. So that's really what I want people to look at. Look at my actions and look at my words as a leader and the organisations I've created to enable safe, diverse, inclusive workplaces. That's my record that I want people to look at and have confidence in.
So he's in the job for just over 24 hours, left our studios here, and when we came off air, I drove and listened to a whole heap of different stuff, and by the end of the day, he's resigned as the CEO of the Essendon Footy Club.
Did that surprise you?
No, as the day wore on, less, but when you told me that this was happening, I was shocked, but when you read through all the different, you could try and get as much information as you can. It essentially, and correct me if I'm wrong, got down to whether or not he wanted to be the chairman of the football club, the Essendon Football Club, or the chairman of the City on a Hill Church. He wasn't going to rescind his spot at the church, and therefore it's not compatible. As David Barham says, the Essendon CEO, it's in a direct contradiction to our values. I understand that. And he's now no longer the CEO. Can you, in your words, tell us why?
Well, because there was enormous backlash from the members of the Essendon Football Club as much as anybody. And when you consider the stance that he has, his Christian beliefs along the lines of anti-abortion and also anti-homosexuals, then you've got to look at how broad the church is of the supporter base for the Essendon Football Club and for all football clubs out there. So you've got the CEO of an organisation who has and supports a church that has those beliefs. So there was an enormous backlash from Essendon support. I don't know whether there was a backlash from sponsors as well, but I know that there was an enormous backlash from the members of the Essendon Football Club. And in the end, they said, okay, we are an inclusive football club. We have no other choice than for us to, well, effectively for him to stand down, but I'm sure that the conversation probably went in a number of directions.
Likening abortion to the concentration camps and saying the homosexualities, these were comments that were made back in 2013, as I understand, of which he says he wasn't aware of.
Right.
Of which David Barham says the Essendon Footy Club, which we'll get to the whole due diligence and what you need to do, wasn't aware of. So they weren't his words, but as, and this is where we get to, because all the text messages and everything else that I've read and talked about saying, well, Christianity is now what, if you're a Christian, you've got Christian beliefs or belief. If you have an anti-homosexual stance or you don't believe in abortion, therefore, what can you do in this world?
Mm.
As I can understand, it's not so much that we need, I think you need to respect people's opinions and right to hold an opinion. I don't agree with them, but that's what, it's when you're the chairman of an organisation has such inflammatory commentary around it. And let's be honest.
You represent those views if you are the chairman of that organisation.
Yes.
And they are not in line with the people out there that support an organisation. In fact, they're not in line with a huge percentage of people out there who follow football or don't follow football.
Mm.
And that was always going to be a controversy that the club probably felt that it didn't want to have to deal with. And, well, not only that, but the fact that they are an inclusive football club, and then this was going to, around the AFLW, around all their other associated connections and stakeholders, this was going to be a major problem for the football club.
So do we, when we interview people, this, and these are all questions that I'm learning like you.
Yeah.
As I said earlier, I have no problem with people's opinions on various controversial topics. I respect people to have an opinion that is different to mine. I don't agree with them, right?
Right. But you expect the right that people can have alternative view to yours.
But this is where I'm trying to put questions to you that are, you know, coming through on the text and stuff.
I might not be able to answer those questions.
That's okay. I don't expect it to, but we're a big family. And don't, everyone out there, I'm not preaching.
Mm.
I'm trying to learn. Mm. So the abuse, you can abuse us or you can abuse Andrew. Anyone you want to abuse, that's up to you. But if you want to try and come along with the journey and try and learn with us, then please do. people there go, okay, what if Patrick Cripps comes out and says, oh, none of you, I'm only using Patrick Cripps because someone used the name. Right. What if a star footballer comes out and says, I'm a member of that church? The people in the narrative saying, does he have to stand aside? Does his football club have to say to him, hey, you've got to choose between us and them?
No, I would say probably the difference would be that he is a member of a football club and he's not representing the organisation like a CEO
So that's the point, isn't it?
There is a big difference in that.
Yeah, because to think that there are people in positions of power in AFL footy and players and media and everyone else who are involved that don't share the same view on homosexuality and abortion would be naive in the extreme.
Well, there would be a diversity of views about all these different topics and subjects right across the AFL.
But if you are the chair of an organisation
and your views are known publicly like that and you stand for those views, then that is a completely different argument, I think.
And that's where the incompatibility comes for Andrew.
That's right. Can I put this out in the record, because I did say this a couple of weeks ago after meeting with Andrew, and Andrew was part of the review panel. He was also part of the panel that selected the coach. And I came in here the next couple of days, or a couple of days after, and said, look, this guy's super impressive. You know, I sat down and we talked about, specifically we talked about footy. I didn't know any of his background.
So you were impressed with the inquiring mind. And
I was
the
impressed.
Questions he asked.
And he's, you know, his upbeat personality, the way that he presented himself, his understanding of the problems that Essendon had, which he should have because he'd already been conducting the review and what he thought the club needed to do and the alignment and all that sort of stuff. And I was really, 100% impressed with what he offered up. I had no idea about his background and his beliefs and all those other associated things. In fact, I didn't have much of an idea about his NAB background either, which I've read more about too. So I did think that he was impressive. Yeah. But let's move to the next part of this, and that is the selection process, because I was told, and I believe it to be the case, that he had to be interviewed for the CEO's job like everybody else, a candidate. They got down to five candidates, I believe. He was one of them. You look at it now and you say at face value, because so many people have said to me, all you had to do was Google him to find out, you know, what the church that he represented and what their beliefs were. And Essendon could have found that out easily. They say that they understood that he was obviously the chairman of this church, but it wasn't apparent to them what the church, what the sermon had been back in 2013, the fact that that was part of the church's beliefs. Should they have known more about Andrew Thorburn than what they did before they appointed him? Should they have been more rigorous in their examination of him?
100%. And this is the embarrassing, when you talk about the, you know, people saying the club's a shambles, that sort of stuff, you make up your own mind, but this is an embarrassment for the process. Ernst & Young, who are put up as the paragons of, you know, this big industry, and, oh, we've got Ernst & Young doing this, and Dorothy Hisgrove, who's the director that's involved, and her background on inclusion and everything else. The journalist did.
The journalist found out.
The journalist found out about Quick Sticks.
Yep.
And he wasn't the one doing the deep, deep dive into the history and background. If you're doing the deep dive that the position warrants and demands, then this is a failure by any stretch. That should have been unearthed. Now, David Barham.
Now, clearly, though,
I watched yesterday. He said, "Oh, well, it wasn't as easy as that." He wasn't aware of it, so we didn't find it. Well, you know, it was found easy enough by a journalist.
Well, clearly, it wasn't rigorous enough, and it wasn't robust enough.
So,
the due diligence that needed to be applied to it wasn't there.
Right. So,
that goes to the heart of your football club and the other appointments they make. And
well, he's doing the investigation into culture, into, you know, how
that's right. Yeah, exactly.
So
he headed up that panel.
All those questions will be asked now, and they will say, is there a chance that whilst Andrew was doing his stuff, for the football club in terms of the review and then the coaching, you're so impressed that you got seduced by him. And as you, not you didn't get seduced, but you came in and said, oh, he's really impressive. And then this is our man. And maybe as a result of what you had seen, you didn't dig deep enough.
Well, clearly that is what happened. I mean, they formed a relationship with him, obviously, because they would have had a lot of contact with him during that time because he was doing the external review. He was doing he was on the coaching panel review as well. So there would have been a lot of conversations that took place during that time. Highly credentialed in terms of, you know, CEO and had moved, you know, in AFL circles through sponsorship, all that type of thing. So he ticked a lot of boxes in terms of what they were looking for in a CEO. But this other really important part to his life is something that wasn't examined.
does the pressure come on to David Barham now? Just have a think about this. Is he had to front the cameras? This is some of what he had to say yesterday.
When it became really clear that Andrew couldn't be chairman of the church with those views and CEO of the Essendon Football Club. So in the end, Andrew decided that he would stay with his church and he couldn't be CEO.
Was this something that you could have picked up before hiring him?
It's difficult because in interview processes, you're not allowed to ask about people's religious... It's against the law. But what we did, as soon as we saw them, we acted. These comments were buried deep in... sermons from years ago, so they weren't as easily found, I don't think, as that. But look, at the end of the day, I reference checked Andrew thoroughly. I rang five incredibly high profile people who had worked with him and worked for him, and I had no reason to think anything other than he was a suitable candidate.
How was Andrew today?
Oh, he was upset. He was really upset. He wanted to be CEO of the Essendon Footy Club, and yeah, he was upset.
He was part of the panel and part of the review of the football club. Does this in any way compromise that review?
No, because the review is done, pretty much. The review is done, and he did an excellent job on the coaches panel. No, the review is pretty much done.
Are you the right bloke to take the club forward?
I think I am, yeah. I think I've got the right attitude and I think I've got the right desire for what it's got to be, and this club needed a shake-up and a reset.
Do you take responsibility for how this episode has played out?
Well, yeah, I do, because I'm chairman of the board of the club, so yeah, I do. But what I take responsibility for is making sure that our club's values are protected.
So there was David Barham.
Yeah.
We'll get to your question. We asked for calls, so we didn't ask for him, but you can... I just want to read this one out because this is a... And this is, I think, sums up a lot of people. No, I don't know, so I don't want to sum up. I listen to you both every morning. The interview yesterday was great. When you ask the questions, and that we're unapologetic, referee. Why does the CEO, he says, my question is, and please educate me here if I'm wrong. Why does the CEO have to quit for his religion or faith holding certain views against homosexuality? Isn't the Muslim religion or faith opposed to homosexuality as well? So how did Bashir Hooley play, for example? How does any Muslim now play at Essendon, and is Thorburn getting treated equally? Sorry for the long post. I'm curious if I've got this wrong. That's from Nick. And that comes through consistently, is that someone else's views, I'm not an expert in the Muslim faith, so please correct me, and is Nick right? Their stance against homosexuality, for example, and how do you reconcile that?
I think we've already answered that question as much as when you have somebody like an Andrew Thorburn, who is in a position of power in terms of administrative power, and is the CEO and the head of your organisation, and then... he is associated with those views. I think it's different. The weight of that is different compared to somebody who may have a Muslim faith, where in their faith, things that may not necessarily be agreeable to everybody is part of that faith too.
So you have no fears about the AFL and their inclusive nature and the fact that they're a big, I don't want to say broad church, yeah. That's wrong, but they're a massive organisation who are accepting of everyone.
Yep.
To a point.
To a point, yeah. To a point. But then you've got to consider this though, Gary. So the backlash was coming from Essendon people. Like there was a genuine backlash from their membership about the views that were held by the person who had just been appointed the CEO.
Jono's in Sunshine. Hey, Jono.
G'day, fellas. I'm not an Essendon supporter or anything, but I'm starting to get confused. And maybe it's about society, about what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. I always thought that everyone's entitled to their own beliefs. And I've always lived by a rule that you can believe whatever you want to believe as long as you don't try and impose your beliefs on me. As far as I was concerned, this man was going to run a football club that has diverse people, that has people that have different sexualities and so on. But I couldn't imagine that this person would do anything to harm those people or anyone else. But just because he runs a church that years ago made a sermon, has just made him, I don't know. I just think that we've got to be inclusive of everyone and their beliefs as well. We can't, unless you're out there spruiking it and fist pumping and all that sort of stuff about your beliefs. If he's just there to do a job, let him do his job, because... Right. Isn't it any discrimination? It's sort of, we're sort of going now that unless you're totally clean skinned in every single way in your life, you cannot be a party to this or a party to that. I think the AFL, we go on about diversity, we go on about racism, we go on about everything, But then when it comes to something like this, it's I'm not allowed to have this belief because you don't agree with it.
Yeah, Jono, thank you. There's a lot of people who share your opinion. Yep. Again, we're just trying to work our way through this. The fact that he is the chair of this organisation who do actively, spruik, for want of a better word, go out and preach.
And have that view.
And have that view is the difference, as we understand it right here. Hey, we've got a lot going on. We'll take Tom from Seaford. We've got to get to Liam Jones. We'll certainly get back to the issue because you clearly want to talk about it. But Tom in Seaford before we get a break. G'day, Tom.
Oh, g'day, fellas. G'day, Gary. G'day, Tim. Look, I just want to go to the heart of an issue here. There are servicemen and women in graves all over the world that defended our freedoms. What happened yesterday was an attack on personal freedom and belief. Andrew Thorburn made the comment that he's welcome to all people in the club if he's Essendon CEO. That is not reciprocated. Because he holds those views, a so-called inclusive club is exclusive. It is exclusive of conservative Christians. You are not welcome. There is a different rule, though. If you are of a non-Christian faith, Muslim or Hindu, where tolerance is found. Every day and every week throughout mosques, they are preached against homosexuality. Everybody in the Muslim faith believes that. And by the way, I find it incredible that no one goes up to Bashahuli or Hanin Siddiqui and says, what is your position on homosexuality, abortion, same-sex marriage? They don't have to explain anything,
no.
And that yet they are allowed to play.
Yeah, that comes through, Tom. And again, we are trying to work our way through this. And so the lady you're talking about there is the AFLW player who, with the rainbow jumpers or the...
wouldn't wear it.
Yeah.
Didn't
pride jumper. Mm. Elected not to wear it. Now, the difference is that I would imagine the Essendon Footy Club are, again, saying we're not excluding people on the basis of their views and standpoint. We are excluding people who are in a position of power, in this case the chairman of an organisation who have likened abortion to a concentration camp and are saying that homosexuality is a sin. Am I wrong?
That's right. No, that's exactly right. But you're also, the extension of that is the backlash that you receive as a football club and the negativity that you receive as a football club. And you're standing in the community. I mean, in one hand, you're saying that you're inclusive and you stand for all these things. And then on the other hand, you've got a CEO who has views that are contrary to that.
Mm.
And that's what they were dealing with yesterday. I think in the end, the bottom line here is that if you're going to act on these things, you act decisively and act quickly, even though you've made a mistake in the first place. The greatest mistake that you can make after that is not to make a decision again for a period of time in justifying your decision.
We'll come back. We'll revisit it. We've just got a busy morning as well. So Liam Jones from the Western Bulldogs and your recruit to join us.